What up, party people? You are tuned in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast with me, Brittany Elizabeth Murray. I'm a storyteller and scribe to the nations. I'm also a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a friend. I'm a mommy. I have 5 children. And I am beloved by the Most High King. That has taken a lot for me to gather and to be able to share, to be able to say I am beloved. You know, I'm 28 years old. It's taken that long, y'all. It's taken that long. I currently am a part of this ministry called Celebrate Recovery. And it is a recovery program of anything you can think of. It's not like just for alcohol or just for pornography or drugs. It's like for anxiety and for depression and for emotional overeating and fear and anger and anything you can think of. But the setup is like, you know, when you go to you probably don't know, but how we see AA meetings, and from what I can understand, the format of an AA meeting, you share who you are. You're like, hi, my name is Jane Doe, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Jane. Well, it's a spin on it. When you go and you go to share groups, which is what they call them, you say your name. Hi, I'm Brittany, and I struggle with fear and anger and anxiety, and I'm celebrating recovery over rejection. Or you say something like, hi, I'm Brittany. I am a beautiful daughter of the Most High King. And you can say all those other things that you're struggling with or what you're celebrating recovery in. And then everybody says, hi, Brittany. I love it. I love it. This ministry, Celebrate Recovery, has been a saving grace to my entire soul and to my family. My family does not attend Celebrate Recovery, but I am a better person because of Celebrate Recovery. So, yeah, they have definitely been blessed by it. So, anyway, as the title states, how I survived Thanksgiving. Your girl is a hot mess. Have you guys noticed that by now? If you follow me on Instagram, you see that my life is always falling to pieces, but I'm always finding the light in all things and in all situations, because I'm just like, you know what, God, if you have given me this second chance to live, which I'm pretty sure it's not my second chance, I'm probably on my 578,000th chance and probably beyond that. I can't even fathom how many chances I've had. But what I realize is, like, specifically this year, having a second chance at life after recovering from multiple brain surgeries, it's just made me aware that I'm not random and I'm not an accident, that I'm here on purpose with a purpose. So I try to find light in every situation because I'm like, yo, I'm still here. I'm still here though. Like, I'm still here. I didn't die. I didn't die from the little anxiety attack that I thought was going to kill me about 15 minutes ago. Like, I'm still here. So yeah, your girl is a hot mess though. And I'm always needing grace and mercy to help me stay the course and follow the narrow brick road. I did not say yellow brick road. I said the narrow brick road. The way is so narrow, y'all. It's so narrow. But anyway, this Thanksgiving was really great, to be honest with you. Like, Thanksgiving Day was an emotional roller coaster, but it was great. I can honestly say that doing something different this year was like medicine for me. It was like medicine for my soul. It was calm for my soul, too. I felt healed in doing something different. And that's all big ups to my husband, Jarrell Lucky Murray. If you're listening, Shout out to you, bae. I know you're listening, so shout out to you, bae. We did something different this year. We went to spend time with our community, in our community, and we live in Fountain Inn, South Carolina. And there is this thing I didn't know about. My husband's like all about trying to figure out what's going on in the community and being an intricate part of the community. So it's this thing called Feast for All that happens annually at the Fountain Inn Activity Center. And my husband runs an after-school program through the South Carolina Regional Housing Authority, not even a block away from the activity center. And so we went there on Thanksgiving morning, all of us, the kids, and we just gathered, you know, some kids from the neighborhood, and we walked. We walked as one big family to the Fountain Inn Activity Center. And when I went into that gymnasium, it was like, whoa. There were like two lines of hot food. I mean, good food, not just like slop, like soup kitchen, like food, but good food. And I'm not saying all soup kitchens are slop. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the idea that you get in your head when you see things on TV, things are not what they seem. Hashtag illusions. So two lines of hot food. There was ham and turkey, and there was green beans, macaroni and cheese. There was dressing or stuffing, if you will. I say dressing, but some people say stuffing. Did I say macaroni and cheese? Cranberry sauce. And gravy. The gravy was on point. I feel like there was something else, but I can't remember. I just know there was not no tater salad, and that kind of disturbed my soul. But I was like, you need to be grateful for what you got. I'm so used to having things the way I'm used to having them, and it was okay to not have the tater salad. I did say tater salad, okay? It's a thing. You should look it up. And so there were two hot lines of that. Then you had your drink station, you had your unsweet tea, your sweet tea, your lemonade and your water. And then there were long tables that were put together, probably about three or four tables that were put together, tablecloths draped full of desserts. There was sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie, and there was pecan pie and chocolate pecan pie and Oreo pie and chocolate chip cookies and Rice Krispie treats for the gluten-free. Holla at me if you're gluten-free. I've dealt with that. One of my daughters didn't have celiac disease, but she was allergic to wheat. So, yeah, gluten, wheat. Yeah, just eliminate gluten, right? That was just easier for us. But praise God, she is no longer allergic to wheat. So that has made things a lot easier for me. And there was... My, there was so many different types of pie. Cinnamon rolls and muffins and donuts and... all that you could ever imagine. And it was just a beautiful time just to sit with my family, sit with my extended family, who's really my husband's babies. And I say that because he works with these kids every day at his after school program. These are like middle schoolers. So they're like tweens or early teenagers, like 11 through 13 years old. And they're really special. I've gotten to meet a few of them. They know my face, they know my smile, and they know my hello, because whenever I do see them, I acknowledge them, I smile, I say hello. Some of them don't say anything back and it makes my butt itch, but it's okay. And then some of them do, and some of them are kind of warming up to me and starting to acknowledge me as well. But I'm like, you know what, a lot of these kids may not understand my love or receive my love, because I don't know, life's experiences teach us how to cope in different ways. So it's not for me to get all bent out of shape because somebody didn't speak. That's a word. Can't get bent out of shape. You don't know what somebody is going through. You can do what you can do. You can control what you can control. You know your intentions, and that's all that matters. Amen. So we spent time there. Kids had a great time. There was an arts and crafts station. My kids made these beautiful placemats with these foam pieces, these foam stickers, and we gathered our things and we left. I took some to-go pie home because there was some chocolate pecan pie that I had never had before, and it was so good. And the kids were able to take some plates back home to their families, and then we called it a day. So, but when my household got back home, we rest, and my daughters weren't feeling that good or whatever. They had the coughs. They had the, it was not good. It was like they were partly cloudy. One of them was cloudy with a chance of rain, for real. Like, my youngest was just coughing her little baby self, like, to death, but they are much better today. I praise God for that, because if you're a parent, when you see your child really, really sick, and then they go from being sick to well, like, it's really a beautiful transformation. It's a miracle. And to be honest with you, it does make me sad when my kids are sick, because I feel like I'm not in control and I can't really do anything besides what I can do. And it has made me very hypochondriacish in the past, but I have grown. Amen for that, because anxiety and hypochondria is not cute and it's not fun. But what I can say, if I'm 100% honest, is when my kids are sick, yeah, I do feel sad because la la la, but I feel annoyed. I do. Can I just be transparent? I feel annoyed because it's inconvenient. You can be like in your bed, sleep, in your good sleep, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning when you in that deep sleep. You might even be dreaming about a donut. I don't know. But then you hear the infamous, and then you're like, what the heck was that? And then you hear it again. You hear it again. And it's like, dude, get up. And then you realize that your child has been vomiting. And one of my kids, I'm not going to name your name, because you might go back and listen to this later on in life, because I'm going to make sure these are archived. But one of you kids in my house will vomit and just lay right back down and go to sleep like ain't nothing happened. That's just wrong, okay? And I'm really upset at you all these years for doing that. But what I can say is I'm thankful that you have grown up just a bit and you actually go to the bathroom now and handle your business. I appreciate that about you, but just know you made your mama struggle. I mean, you made me struggle. You made tears come out of my eyes when you used to do that, because who wants to clean up throw up, boo? I mean, like, grown throw up. You're not grown, but that's, it just smelled grown. It was nasty. So anyway, I digress. The kids weren't feeling well. And I would say my youngest she was having coughing fits, and it wasn't suitable for them to go back out. So my husband kept them, and I went to Celebrate Recovery's Thanksgiving meal. And it was beautiful. And that's where I had the light bulb moment. Like, you don't have to do things perfectly on Thanksgiving. If you're grieving a loss of any sort, you should not do things the way you normally do them. And I'm like, yo, I need to recreate memories. I need to have my grandma's tato salad. I need to pour the sweet potato pies like I've been doing for years. I need to wash the collard greens. And I need to make sure those are cooked the day before so I can season them the next day. I need to make sure everything is right to give my family the best of me. And I'm like, BS, you know, like, this is some straight up bologna sandwich right now. It is. It took me to not cook for a year to realize that this ain't even what it's about. I'm just like, wow. So let's take a break, y'all, and we'll jump back into this thing, because something happened. I had this revelation, but something happened on Black Friday, and I have to get back into that. So stay tuned. You are tuned in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. All right, I am back, and thank you for tuning in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. Woo! I didn't know I was going to share all of that, y'all. I've just kind of digressed about 5 different times, but if you know me, that is just me. You just kind of have to deal with it. That's how I flow. That's how I ask God to flow in me. So back to this Thanksgiving holiday. So my revelation was that I don't have to do things the way they've always been done in order to receive and achieve true joy and happiness. Yes. Ooh, I wish I would have known that about 3 years ago, because I've been definitely walking in insanity when it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas. And to be clear, because I did not make this clear in the beginning of the podcast, I struggle during the holidays with grief of losing my mother when I was 4.5 years old. My mom passed away in March of 1995, and I was turning 5 on April
3rd, 1995. And it's just been a difficult road of having true joy during the holiday season, because the holiday season was where my mom shined the most with our family, within our own household, within her community, within the communities that she built. And she definitely carried love on her back for everyone she encountered. And she was very special and gifted at bringing people together, especially her own family. And it's just been different since she's been gone. I don't live in Rock Hill, South Carolina, where most of my family lives. So we don't gather as much. We see each other, you know, when I go visit or when they come visit me, but we don't gather for holidays anymore. And it hurts badly. And so what I've tried to do since I've gotten married and I've had children is to recreate what I lost. And it's been a complete disaster. Every year seems like it's a tragedy, whether it's burning some food or just completely being disengaged and wanting to hide under a rock because my emotions are out of control. So that revelation really freed me on Thanksgiving. But then, dun dun dun, there comes Black Friday. So mind you, when we went to this community event, I kind of knew we were gonna go, but I didn't really know we were gonna go until the day of. So a week prior to Thanksgiving week, I had already started purchasing things for our Thanksgiving meal that we always cook. My husband cooks the meats and I cook the sides. That's just how it usually works. Now, he's vegan this year, so things were a little bit more difficult as far as making purchases for certain dishes and things like that. And I think I had posted on Instagram that I could not do a vegan Thanksgiving. I thought it was going to be real cute and very, you know, noble or whatever. I think I just wanted a pat on the back for trying to do that, to be honest with you. And I was like, I can't do this, Ish. I cannot do this. I don't even know how to do this. Like, when it comes to vegan recipes, you definitely have to read. you can't just like eye it. You have to go by the recipe, and it's almost like a science experiment. There's a lot of detail when it comes to making a delicious vegan meal or a recipe, like dish is what I'm trying to say, a vegan dish. So I had chalked that up to say I'm not doing it. I'm gonna do what I know, and that's that. I'll make a few vegan sides and whatever, but I can't do a whole vegan Thanksgiving. So I thought about, you know, okay, I can make a vegan mac and cheese. I can make the collard greens vegan. We have cranberry sauce. I can make a vegan stuffing. And I think I was going to make a vegan potato salad, but that didn't happen. So on Black Friday, my husband was like, oh, well, let's just get in the kitchen together and let's just make smaller portions for the family, because we were going to have people over, but our kids were sick and we didn't want to infect anybody else or their kids. So we were like, nah, let's just do smaller portions and just keep it funky, you know, let's just make it simple. And that's what we aim to do, and that's what my husband did. But oh, Brittany, she's just not that simple. She has to do the most. And things were going really good. He had gotten the turkey in the oven. He made the turkey for us, and he gotten the ham and everything in the oven and made a nice glaze for it. And then I started to wash the greens and do that. I had gotten everything situated. I was down to the vegan mac and cheese. I had already gotten the regular macaroni and cheese in the oven. I had already gotten the greens going. I think I had the stuff to make the dressing already prepped to the side. And my husband made some rice. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. Because with vegan cheese, it's literally a science experiment. And the thing that makes the vegan cheese stretch and melt like regular cheese, like cheddar cheese or mozzarella, is tapioca starch. That is the thing. So I'm just, you know, first of all, you gotta take white potato, carrot, and onion to make the base, to make it look like cheese. I put too many carrots in, y'all. So, honey, it looked like baby food. It looked like carrot puree. It was not orange. I mean, it was not yellow or like orange yellow. It was like orange. like orange for real. And so I'm like, God dog it, I'm gonna have to boil another couple of potatoes to balance this out. And then I started to get anxious and I started to panic and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, I can't do this. And the walls started caving in on me. It was just like a lot. And so I gathered myself together and I finally got the potato boil. And when I like started to like puree the potato into the carrot mixture and onion and the other mixture I had made, it still was bright orange. I'm like, what the French toast? Like, this is not happening right now. So I was just getting frustrated. I'm like, this ain't gonna taste right. I don't know what I'm doing. And I like walked away. I was like, I just can't do this. I can't do life. I bumped the dressing, it's not going in. I just can't do it. Like, I went in my room and just got on my knees and just prayed. But it wasn't even like a prayer. Like, it was like a help, please. It was like one of those kind of prayers. And I came back and I tried it again. And I basically just like the last bit of whatever I had to make, I just kind of winged it. And I just rushed through it. And I was tired. And we were supposed to put up the Christmas tree after that. I was just tired. And I felt like I wasn't present in the moment to have the meal with my family. And I was really sad about that. The vegan macaroni and cheese did not taste like macaroni and cheese. It tastes like vegan macaroni and cheese. But in my mind, I'm thinking it's supposed to taste like macaroni and cheese. So I was tripping about that. The dressing didn't taste like how I thought it was supposed to taste. I was tripping about that. The collard greens was good. That was the best thing. Of course, the turkey and ham was great. My husband always makes a mean, juicy turkey. So that was cool. And then, what else was off? The rice was good. Oh, I bought some store-bought turkey gravy, and it tastes like somebody put some Dawn dish detergent in it. It was just like a disaster. I was totally in my feelings, and I could not handle myself. And I was like, why did I even do this? Why do I even cook? I should have just been satisfied with the community feast. And, you know, and I'm like, why did I? Could we not have put in the turkey in the deep freezer and the ham in the deep freezer and just kind of, you know, everything was salvageable. Like, the things that I did buy could have been used for other things. I did not have to cook Thanksgiving dinner. I just had to do the most. And I was like, babe, can we just not cook Thanksgiving dinner ever again? Can we just go to community events and stuff? He was like, sure. And I'm like, you know what? We might just do that. Or go house hopping. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to do this in order to create a perfect Thanksgiving. That's not what it's about. I was doing all this in the name of making my kids feel loved and warm. And it was all about me. It was being selfish. It was being utterly selfish, trying to recreate things that are gone. And it's okay if they're gone. I don't have to recreate anything. I can create out of what's already in my hands, what I already have within my family. I know my kids. I know my husband. I know what we like. I know what we don't like. I know our love languages. And we can birth something new, new traditions for our family. My kids are going to grow up one day and they're going to be all into this thing. Right now they're little and I'm trying to press on them things that are foreign. And it's okay if it's foreign, but it's just not, it wasn't good intentions. It wasn't, I was saying it was about recreating moments and making them feel warm and loved and to have what I had as a child. But it was actually me just trying to fill a void. It was me trying to get something that I can't get back. It was just real selfish. So, child, I'm grateful for that. I am hoping that, and I'm not even hoping, I know, and I'm just going to continue to affirm this within myself and within my husband and my family, that next year we will serve in our community. We will spend time in our community. But as far as our family Thanksgiving, where we invite friends or whether we keep it intimate just with us, we're going to cater in. That's what we're gonna do, and it's gonna be okay, and it's gonna be delicious, and all the recipes that I don't want to lose from my family, I will give to the caterer, I will give to the chef. Amen. And I also think that pride puffs me up to believe that as a millennial it is everlasting life to be able to replicate the soul food traditions of your grandma and your mama, because most millennial women don't know how to cook like that. And so it was pride within me saying that you got to do this, because a lot of women can't do that, and you don't want things to get lost. You don't want to like lose this when it comes to passing it down to your daughters. And I'm like, yo, I can still pass this down to my daughters, but I don't have to exasperate my soul in the midst of it. So I just had so many revelations, y'all. let's take a quick break and then I'll get into some of the practical things that help me stay the narrow brick road, as I called it, the narrow brick road, the days leading up to Thanksgiving and thereafter. Stay tuned. You are listening to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast.
Thank you for keeping it locked on the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. I'm Brittany Elizabeth Murray, a storyteller and scribe to the nations. So, hashtag moral of the story, okay? Moral of the story is a lot deeper than just giving one statement. What I'm going to say is, ultimately, I realized that I was struggling with the idea and the fact that I am still alive, that I survived those multiple brain surgeries, coming from Chiari malformation to bacterial meningitis and literally dying in between there. I'm sure the way things kind of panned out, I'm sure in between there, I slipped away for even if it was a brief second. Because when I woke up, I was really different. Everything about me is different. Just the way I see life, the way I smell things, the way I hear things, the way I experience things, it's just totally different. And so with that being said, ultimately, I was feeling like I'm not worthy of living this life that God has given me. I'm not worthy of still being alive and being on the road of destiny and walking out purpose every single day. I don't understand God. That's ultimately what it was. And I was overcompensating by trying to do the most for the holidays with meals and recipes and trying to rekindle and recreate past experiences and thinking that, oh, maybe I'm feeling so heavy because the loss of my mother and the loss of Christmas holidays spent with family. Maybe that's it. But it really wasn't. What it really boiled down to was the fact that I don't understand why I'm still alive, why my feet are planted in the earth right now. Why am I not dead? And I don't understand why God has given me this chance and this ability to come back completely restored, like as far as brain structure and as far as intellect and as far as like being able to comprehend things and just cognitive function. I don't get it. And I feel so burdened sometimes to get things done that are in my sphere of influence. I can believe it for somebody else, but oftentimes when it comes to me, I'm like, I'm not qualified to be doing this, God. I'm not qualified to be talking about this, God. I'm not qualified to speak on this particular subject matter, God. All I have is a bachelor's degree. And he's like, nope, but this is your lane and there's no competition in your lane. And that's what he's saying to you too, friend. This is your lane. You know what your lane is. You may have been running from it, but you know what your lane is, and there is no competition in your lane. Your only competition is yourself. So what helped me to come to this realization is what I like to call my spiritual solid. Okay, spiritual solid is basically scripture from the Bible, and it's going deep and getting myself off of just spiritual milk and getting on solid food. Okay, I believe the Apostle Paul talks about that in one of his epistles. But my spiritual solid for today, and that really I discovered a couple of days ago. No, really yesterday. You guys don't know what day that is, but Sunday, November 25th, 2018, comes from the book of Esther. And it's Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And it says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" In other translations says, "For who knows?" I mean, I'm just speaking, it's not verbatim, but like, who knows? You may have become queen for such a time as this, because she did become the queen. She was Mordecai's daughter, but really Mordecai's cousin. And he took her in because Esther was an orphan. And the king who dethroned Vashti, who was the queen at the time, he dethroned her and was seeking for another queen for his kingdom. And he gave Esther so much favor. She was very obedient to what Mordecai was telling her to do and everything. And people in the kingdom found out that Mordecai was a Jew, and the Jews were despised, of course, during this time, and they were like trying to kill Mordecai. But Esther found favor in the king's sight, and Mordecai is like, all right, you can be silent if you want to. You can be silent if you want to, but you and your family will be slayed because you kept your mouth closed. Take a chance. Say what you need to say. Don't be silent. And redemption is going to come to all of us because of your obedience. So my question, friend, is this. What are you being silent about? Who is attached to your obedience? Who gets set free when you say yes? Okay. Now I'm going to take a break on that one because I got a little deep there myself. And I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back with something really, really good that definitely helps to keep me on my toes during dark hours, during times where I'm in my head and I don't understand what's going on. Keep it locked here on the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. So, you want to write a book or a screenplay or a song, but you have no idea how to get started. Well, you're in luck, but I can't teach you how to write a book. Writing is a very technical skill, and truth be told, you don't need to know how to write to create a bestseller. What I can do is teach you how to become a phenomenal storyteller in your lane of influence. I'm Brittany Elizabeth Murray, a storyteller and scribe to the nations. I've written a few books, and I've assisted others in manifesting and sequencing the stories within them to become best-selling books, award-winning films, and top chart musical tracks. So, you want to become a storyteller? Well, I'm your storytelling coach. Connect with me by visiting my website at www.ohm.me. Again, that's www.ohm.me to plug into the many resources available to you. See you there. Thank you for tuning in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. I am Brittany Elizabeth Murray, a storyteller and scribe to the nations. After I've poured out my entire life to you, friend, I gotta give you a jewel. I gotta give you something that keeps me motivated. And I must say, my husband has the juice. Okay? My husband has the juice. His name is Lucky Murray. He is a Christian hip hop artist. And this track from off of his new album called Fearless that dropped November 8th is fire. Like, it's hot. It's lit. Okay? I feel so old for saying lit. Like, that don't even sound cute coming out of my mouth. But anyway, this song, I've heard him record it. I've heard him editing it. I've heard it to where I'm just tired of hearing it. But I was listening to his podcast, his latest podcast, where he interviews, Lord, and I forgot my brother's name, Laurel. And he's Laurel of Judah on Instagram. He has a song called Look at God, and it has been featured on rapzilla.com. The music video has. Anyway, I was listening to that interview, which is a powerful testimony of obedience. And the first track on the podcast was my husband's song, Yes Sir. And I'm like, oh, I've heard this song many times, whatever, whatever. But I was listening to it in a good pair of headphones. When I tell you that song knocks, I mean, that song knocks. I was like, what? Like, and I had to apologize to him. I'm like, babe, I didn't even know this song was like knocking like that. Like, I feel like this is like my theme song for the week. Like, this helped me come out of my funk, you know? And this song again is called Yes Sir. My husband has been asking me for the longest to allow him to be on the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. But I'm like, dude, it's called Once Upon Her Mind, not Once Upon His Mind. So, you know what? I'm going to allow Lucky Murray to be on the podcast. But it's a little spin to it. I'm not going to interview him. He's not being featured. He's not co-hosting, but I'm going to play this track because this track is like hashtag mood for your girl. So this has been the Once Upon Her Mind podcast with Brittany Elizabeth Murray, a storyteller inscribed to the nations. And the track you're listening to right now is called Yes, Sir.
Put some respect on my name, put some respect on my name, yes, sir. Put some respect on my name, put some respect on my name,
haters gon' hate, don't stress up.
Yes, sir.
Plug me to the left, my address up.
Yes, sir.
Have to make a laugh forever. Never let them keys switch up. Thank God every day for the bless up.
Yes,
these are my confessions. Now tell me if you feel me. Did all this, never had a dilly. Better get your coat back to be chilly. No chill when I spit, don't be silly. Went to the zoo, told him free willing. Took a zebra, made him pop a willy. Do I feel bad? Oh no, not really. Gas in the gym and a Milky Way. Oh, what you say? Hold up, you ain't gotta answer, sway. Haters gon' hate, don't stress em.
Yes, sir.
Play me to the left, might address ya.
Yes, sir.
Take nothing but the best,
sir.
Can't take nothing lesser. Ain't nobody this fresher.
Yes, sir.
Sleep on me, I tell ya. Somebody better tell them. Put some respect on my name, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody better tell them. Ain't nobody is fresher. Thank God every day for the blesser.
Yes, sir.
Take nothing but the best,
sir.
Haters still hating on stress on my slam ball, I'm Stan Fletcher. In school, never passed old tests. Wanna be known my session. Then light taught me this lesson. Ain't nobody fresher. Start doing me, can't be nobody else. Boss tycoon, boy, feeling myself. I'ma fall off, don't hold your breath. Toss like a ball up, better watch yourself. Hating on me, that bad for your health. Life by sound to the day of my death. Jermaine Dupri, Kobe so dead. We step to me, better watch your step. Yeah, haters gon' hate, don't stress em.
Yes, sir.
Play me to the left, might address ya.
Yes, sir.
Take nothing but the best,
sir.
Can't take nothing lesser. Ain't nobody this fresher.
Yes, sir.
Sleep on me, I tell ya. Somebody better tell them. Put some respect on my name, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Somebody better tell them. Ain't nobody this fresher.